part of any parenting routine. But we find that many children don't respond when we give them instructions. And somewhere along the way, they need to be corrected. And so it's a very important how we come and correct our children, because our goal then is to teach them some valuable things. Whenever we correct children, a good parenting routine when it comes to correction starts with words. We start with words because that's the way adults correct each other. And we want to provide our children with a plan that allows them to receive correction even as children, and they can grow up to be adults who can receive correction. So as adults, we share correction with one another as a gift, and we do that with words.
Sometimes parents believe if they have to correct their child, they need to give a consequence to that child. There always has to be a consequence tied in. And consequences are important, and we will talk about that. But the first step of correction is just using words. We want to correct one another with words. We want to teach our children to be responsive to words. We may even say to a child, can't we just use words here, or do we have to go somewhere else? We want to teach them a responsiveness. Boy, if I could just correct my child with words and that's it and they change, that would be wonderful.
We use words because that's the way that God corrects us. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God uses His Word to correct us. And so as we work with our children, we want to use our words as the first step. So I might say to a child, I'm going to start with words and we'll see if this works. Can you respond to my words, or do I need to go to the next step? Because what I'm saying to a child is, I really wish we could stay there. Sometimes I say to my teenagers, let's just use words this time. Let's not have to go to the next step, because invariably we have to go through this process of correction. Can't we just deal with it with words this time, so that we don't have to go through that long and arduous process?
Responding to words is a mature skill. We want to teach our children to be mature. We want to teach them to respond to words of correction. As adults, we correct one another with words. We don't use other things. All we have to do is just do a gentle correction often, and we redirect people, and that's great. If I'm driving down the road, and I'm going a little too fast, and the policeman stops me, I say, just use words. I don't need anything else. Right? We like to just respond to words of correction and make those adjustments. We want to teach our children to be responsive to words. It's a skill they need to learn, to be sensitive in that way, so that they don't need anything else.
Now, we're going to share with you another plan, because some children don't respond to words, do they? They need something more. But we do want to share with you that that's the goal. So you want to keep going back to that and help children see that we really want to stay on this correction with words process. There was a time when I saw a pattern in one of my daughters that she was doing well for a little bit, and then she would start to get more disrespectful and resistant to our instruction and so on. And then we would have a correction time that would kind of be a crisis in her life, and then she'd go back to doing fine for a while. And then she would start to move toward being more resistant. We have another correction time. So I came to her one time and I said, can I talk to you for a minute? Because I want to tell you what I'm seeing here. I said, I'm seeing that we're about at a point where you need to be corrected. Because you do really well sometimes, but then you start to become more resistant and disrespectful. And then we got to discipline you, but then you do fine again. We're right about to that place. I just want you to know. And she says to me, okay, Dad, I'll take care of it. I was surprised. I thought we were going into some correction. But the words at that moment did a lot to move us back into that good mode again. That's where we're trying to go with our children. Using words is the goal. But sometimes words don't work and we have to go to another step. So we want to share with you what we believe to be a good second step as we work with children, because this second step really addresses the hearts of our kids. And touching the hearts of a child is so important. We can't emphasize how important that is, because if we just work on behavior, then the heart isn't addressed. And over a period of time, the problems of the heart manifest themselves, and parents are sometimes surprised by what's in the heart. The behavior that children experience now at a young age are indicators of what's going on in the heart. And so we want to move down into a child's heart and do some work in some significant way so the child can make the changes necessary. And not just change on the outside, but change on the inside as well.
So we need to be on the lookout for discipline strategies that address the hearts of our children. I remember one time when my son Dave was young, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and he was in the playroom at our house playing with some friends. There were several neighbors at the same time all in the playroom, and I heard some arguing going on. So I went a little closer to listen carefully to what was happening, and it seemed as if Dave was telling the other children how to play a particular game. And he was creating some conflict in doing that. And so I called Dave out of the playroom, and I said, Dave, what you're doing is bossy. You need to not respond to the children in that way. You need to just be more gentle with them and think of a different way to talk to them. And so I sent Dave back into the playroom to go back to his friends. Well, he got back into the playroom, and he told the kids they could not play with his game anymore. That was his game, and he was going to put it away. See, what happened was I talked to Dave, and I used words, but he didn't change his heart. And so he went in, he had a different response, a different behavior when he went back, but he had the same heart problem. And so sometimes children don't respond to our words, and we need to go a little deeper into their heart and make some adjustments on a heart level so that coming out of that is going to be a different response.
The heart is the place where we wrestle with things. We all have one. You have a heart. Your children have a heart. And it's a place where we wrestle with things and we test them out. When you're angry with someone and laying on your bed at night and thinking about it, that's heart stuff that's happening. You're kind of working some stuff out in your heart. It's where emotions are experienced. It's where our longings and desires happen. It's where we talk to ourselves. The heart is a very significant place because it's a deep place within us that we wrestle with things and come to commitments. We make decisions in our heart. Once we do that, then it moves up to another layer and feeds the will. There are some people who have strong wills and others who have weak wills. There are advantages to both. Those who have strong wills will eventually be leaders. Although it's hard to raise a leader, we can envision a positive future for them someday. But for now, we have to work with that strong will that they have and try to help them deal with it. Other children have weak wills. That means they're easily tempted. They like to please other people, take on other people's agendas. They become great helpers, want to please people. It's great. But it can become a problem if they're easily tempted to do the wrong thing and please people in ways that are unproductive. So we want to help children deal with their wills, but we do that by working on their heart. So we have the heart down here, then we have the will, and out of the will comes the behavior that we see in our children. It is not sufficient to just deal with behavior because you're not addressing the deeper issues, the underlying values that your children hold and the thinking errors that they've embraced. Many parents focus on behavior modification. You can't go outside and play until you get your homework done. You can't watch a video until you clean up your room. That's behavior modification. And we may use some of those techniques, but we want to work deeper into a child's heart because the heart is also the place where the conscience is and where character is developed. It's a deep waters, Proverbs says. So it's important for us as we're working with children to look for techniques that are going to move down there into the heart to help our children wrestle with the stuff that's going on deeper inside their lives.
As we're parenting our children, it's much easier to focus on behavior. We can see the behavior. We know the behavior. We often know the behavior not only that we don't like, we know what behavior we want them to do. So it's easy to stay on that level. It's easy to measure it when we've made some behavior change. We can see they're not doing that anymore, and they're doing this. And so it's easy to stay on that behavior level. But if we just focus on behavior, we don't get to the lasting change that needs to happen in our children's lives. Because when they're young, we can kind of force them to do the right behaviors. But if we're not focusing on the heart as well, then as they get older, we're going to see some of this unresolved stuff from their heart coming out. Parents often make mistakes in this area, and they miss the heart altogether as they're working on behavior. Sometimes parents just make excuses for their kids. Well, you know, he's just a boy, or he's just going through a stage, or you know, she's not as bad as her friends, or you know, he's only two, or she's a teenager. You know, we make these excuses for our kids, and in doing so, we miss the heart. Another mistake that parents make, and in doing so miss the heart, is they overpower their children. They force the behavior to do, this is what you need to be doing, we're going to force it, and make the child respond. And that can work for a little while, but it doesn't address the heart issues that really need to be touched.
So we may force a change of behavior, but that's not all we want to do. We want to work on a deeper level. And some parents just say, okay, come on. They grab their kid and take them here, or they yell at them and overpower them, and that's all they do. And when that happens, then they miss some of the deeper stuff that's going on. We want to share with you a technique, but I say that carefully because I don't want you to just focus on the technique. I want you to focus on the goals behind it that have to do with the heart. We call this technique taking a break. In some cases, it looks similar to timeout, but we don't really like timeout. Because timeout is basically a sentence that a child serves for a crime they've committed, and you are the policeman that must keep them in that sentence. I don't like the role of the parent in that model. In fact, timeout often assumes that children can solve problems on their own, and that isn't always the case either. So we want to draw some distinctions between timeout and what we're calling taking a break so that you can catch the differences and see the underlying strengths behind taking a break and how they really touch a child on a deeper level. It has to be developed as a technique first. And so it can be difficult at times to develop this routine in family life. But doing the work opens for you a tool that you can use to address the deeper issues in your child's heart. So let's talk about taking a break a little bit.
In fact, we're going to spend some time talking about taking a break and what it looks like, but then we're also going to give you some ideas of how to actually do this in your family. So you may be thinking of some questions maybe coming to mind as we talk about this taking a break, but we're also going to apply it then to young children as well as older children as we go.
So we're going to identify three distinctives that make taking a break different from time out. And the first one is that the child is sent on a mission to change the heart. That is the goal in taking a break. Certainly the child is sitting in a boring place. We prefer not the child's room usually because that can be like Great Adventure or Six Flags or some exciting place for children nowadays. So many things in their bedrooms. And especially with young children, we prefer that they sit in the hall or on the top step or there by the couch, somewhere close by. They don't even have to be there that long, we're going to see in just a moment. But they're sent there on a mission. And the mission is to change the heart. That's what we're doing with this child. We're helping this child think differently about this. This isn't a punishment necessarily. What this is the child sent there to do a task, and that is to do some heart work and to make some changes in the heart.
See, the child is not just going to sit still and quiet for a certain length of time. They're not being sentenced to 10 minutes in time out, but they're being sent to take a break with a mission to change their heart. You need to take a break now and come back and see me when you're ready, we may say to a child. What we want the child to do is have the opportunity to settle down. Maybe the child, you've asked him to put his shoes on and he gets all frustrated and starts throwing his shoes. He doesn't want to do that. That child needs time to just settle down. The child needs to take a break before they're ready to work on this problem. Teenagers often need to take a break because they get so caught up in their emotions, they need time to settle down. And so we have a child take a break.
Changing the heart involves a process, and it can mean different things for different children at a particular time. We can't expect a tremendous amount out of preschoolers. We just may be asking them to settle down. That's all we want them to do, is settle their emotions in their heart so they can come back and have a debriefing with us about it. Well, we'll take that. That's a change of heart. We'll take that little bit. Some children are able to process in a more lengthy way some of the things, what they did wrong and how they want to respond to it differently. That's kind of advanced, but that's what we're looking for. Eventually, we want children to come back and be able to deal with their heart in a more significant way in that process.
When we talk about a change of heart, we're talking about the word repentance that we see in the Bible. And we call that a change of heart when we're working with children, but really what we're talking about is repentance. We're teaching children about repentance, and we've even broken out into six steps that we would suggest are a part of a change of heart for children. The first four steps we would require of children, and the other two we would just like to see happen, but may not happen. See, repentance is a process that happens in the heart, and we can't force it. We can force behavior change. We can't force heart change. But as we look at these steps, the first part, the first step of repentance is just to settle down, to calm down, to stop fighting mom or dad, to be willing to work on the problem. Just settle down. That's maybe all the child does in the break. They just settle down and they're ready to do more with the parent. Some children will stay in the break longer and they settle down, and the next thing they need to do is acknowledge what they did was wrong. They're able to do that in their own heart. I know I did the wrong thing. The third step would be to recognize there needs to be a change here. What I'm doing is wrong. I've got to do something different. And the fourth step was then to acknowledge what the right thing is they need to be doing. So that's breaking repentance down into four little pieces that we can expect of children. Even young children can do that. Settle down, recognize it was wrong, realize they have to do something different, and decide what that different thing is. Now, the last two steps that we would like to see happen, but we obviously can't force, is a desire to do the right thing and a sadness that they did the wrong thing. Those are emotional things. We can't force them, but we can talk about them and motivate children in that direction. The desire stuff. Oh, I'm sorry I made that mistake. I'm sorry I hurt you. We can't force sorrow, but we can encourage that sadness and the desire to do the right thing.
Now, imagine that you're starting this with a child who's 3 years old. You may be starting this with a child who's 13 years old or 15 years old. That's okay. We can work there. But let's imagine what it looks like when you're working with a young child. Because we use this in the preschool. And we'll have children go and take a break in a particular chair. And then they're on a mission to think about it and come back. And they may just only be able to settle down. That's okay. You ready to talk about it? Come on. We'll talk about those things. What did you do wrong? And what are you going to do differently next time? They become part of a debriefing that we do afterwards. But what we're doing regularly with a child is sending that child to take a break on a mission. You may be discouraged at times if you have a child who is strong-willed, defiant, selfish, demanding. Because you'll send the child there, and what happens for him when he goes and takes a break is he does some heart work, but it's stewing and getting more angry and upset and so on. He just needs to be in the break a little bit longer. Because what we're trying to do is give him a break from life to think about what's going on. What we're going to do is, over a period of time, you may see a child come back, go through a routine without the heart in it. You know, just going through the motions. I'll take going through the motions at first. That's okay. Because after a while of going through the motions, pretty soon that child is able to see that here's what I'm supposed to be doing, and actually going and making some significant change on a deeper level. You can't force that deeper change in a child, but you can set children up so that they're starting to respond the right way, and pretty soon it starts to filter down and we start to see heart change take place.
Taking a break is a routine. And as we've said, routines can be helpful structures to help children make significant changes in their life over time. So the break is not one of those ideas you're going to take home and you're going to teach it to your child today, and by tonight you're going to have a changed heart instantly. It takes time for children to learn these things. They're skills. But that's where we want to be headed with our children, not just focusing on the behavior level, but going down deeper to some heart level issues.
Let's illustrate this by looking at Chrissy and her dad.
Hey, Dad, how you doing? Hey, listen, can I have $10? And can you take me over to Sarah's house? We got some plans. You could maybe pick us up then at Jane's later on tonight. This is that catalog she wanted to see. I had to take that with me to Sarah's. And, you know, I've got some laundry in the washer. Could you just advance that to the dryer later? That would be really great, Dad. And when Bill calls, just help me talk to Jane. I worked it out. It's not a problem at all.
Wait a minute.
What, Dad?
It was just a few minutes ago that you were mad at me because I asked you to take your clothes out of the bathroom.
Oh, I took care of that. It's not a problem. And, you know, by the way, could you get me some more shampoo? I'm all out of shampoo, Dad.
But, Chrissy, you yelled at me. All I did was ask you to get your clothes out of the bathroom.
Well, you deserved it.
What? Why did I deserve it?
Well, Dad, I don't know why you're always telling me to get my stuff out of the bathroom.
Because I don't like the bathroom messy.
Well, you could just move it.
Chrissy, sometimes I do move it. But it's your job. I'm trying to get you to take up your own mess and clean it up.
All right, well, that's fine. Hey, can we go over to Sarah's now? I'm really ready to go, and that $10. Can we do
that? The answer is no.
No? What? What?
That's what I mean. No, I don't want you going anywhere. I don't want you doing anything until you talk about the way you were treating me earlier.
Dad, I got to do this. I got to go to Sarah's. I made the plans. You do this all...
Anger isn't going to work to change my mind.
Oh, Daddy, this is terrible. I've got to go to Sarah's.
Dramatics aren't going to work either.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy, this is, you know, your daughter Chrissy.
Manipulation won't work either.
Fine. I'm sorry. Now, do you feel better?
Not exactly.
What is it that you want?
I want you to think about me and not just yourself. How I feel when you treat me that way. I want you to think about a different way to respond to me. That's what I want.
Oh, come on, Dad. Teenagers are supposed to yell at their parents.
Oh, come on, Chrissy. We don't have a relationship like other people. We can have a relationship that doesn't involve yelling.
I don't think I can do that.
Chrissy, I want you to go think about it. Take some time. Take a break. And I want you to come back and think about it.
Oh, I don't know how to do that, Dad.
Just imagine, what would it be like to change your heart? Just hypothetically, theoretically, imagine what that might look like in this kind of situation. Go ahead, what do you think?
Well, I suppose I'd have to admit I have a problem.
That would be nice.
That'd be hard. Then I'd probably have to remember some way to get my stuff out of the bathroom.
Chrissy, that would be very helpful.
That would be really hard. Then I should probably accept correction from you.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. I like this.
And why would I want to do all this?
Because it's maturity, Chrissy. You can do this. It's maturity.
Maturity?
Yes.
Me? Chrissy?
Yes, you.
Mature. I'll think about that, Dad.
Good. Thank you. I would like that.
But don't you tell any of my friends.
Our lives are very busy places. They're so busy sometimes with entertainment and things that we're doing, people that we're seeing, jobs that have to be done, that we don't have opportunity to let our hearts work and think. You've probably been in that situation as a parent where you have some with nothing to do, right? Rarely. But when you do, your heart can start to work and God can do some good things on a deeper level. What we're suggesting is that in the life of children, they need a break. A break from life's activities and busyness in order to jumble up some of the things that are going on in the heart. You see, children come to decisions often many times in their hearts with very little contemplation. With just pieces of information, and with those little bits of information, they develop emotional responses and they get upset about things and they become demanding and so on. And what we're saying is you need to think about it a little bit, because what we want to do is slide some more information into that heart. That's why a break can be very helpful in a child's life. It's not a punishment. Sit there for 10 minutes because you did something wrong. That's justice. We're not looking for justice. We're looking for heart change. I want you to go think about it and change your heart. So the first distinctive that we see as we're looking at taking a break as compared to time out is that taking a break sends a child on a mission to address the heart.
The second distinctive that makes taking a break different from time out is that when a child is sent to take a break, the child helps determine how long that break is going to last. You see, if we're sending a child to change their heart, we don't know how long that's going to take. If we were to send a child to the break for too long, well, that may cause discouragement because the child is ready and they've got to sit there for 15 minutes. But we may be sending that child to a break and set a time, and it wouldn't be long enough because it takes a long time for this child to really settle down and work on some heart issues. So we don't know how long it's going to take for the child. And so we tell the child, you need to go spend some time alone, or you need to take a break, or you need to go sit on the step, whatever we're using as words, and come back and see me when you're ready. And the child helps determine just how long that break is going to last. It doesn't matter really if it's 5 minutes, 20 minutes, or 3 hours. How long does that child need to really settle down and work through this?
Some children can change pretty fast. So we'll say, okay, you need to go take a break. And they'll say, oh no, I changed already. And some children use that as a manipulation. In other words, they'll continue doing the wrong thing until you call for the break. And then they say, okay, I changed. You say, okay, well, I'm glad you changed. I still want you to go put your bottom right over there where I asked you to put it. And then if you're ready, you come back to me and we'll debrief and we'll talk about it. And then we go through that process. But we're teaching children, you need to take a break and think about it. Now, some children can respond in 30 seconds, but other children take a lot longer. I remember my son Josh had a real anger problem as he was growing up. He's a very peaceable guy now and enjoy him quite a bit. But I remember sometimes he'd fall asleep in the break place. And that's fine with us. when he woke up, he was much more peaceable, and we could work through it. But sometimes it'll take a while for a child to settle down and be able to address this. But what we're saying in life is, we're not going to live this way anymore. You cannot continue to have those kind of responses. You cannot continue to do those things. And so we're going to take a break. And the child helps determine the length of time spent in that break place.
And sometimes the child will come back out of the break and they're not really ready to deal with this. They're trying to get through the process quickly. And as a parent, we can tell by the child's posture, the look on their face, maybe the way they're talking to us, that they're not really ready. And so we say, no, it seems to me you're not ready yet. I want you to go back to the break and stay there a little bit longer until you're really ready to work on this. You see, the child helps determine how long the break is. It's not completely up to them, but as a parent, we are also involved in the process, watching, looking for certain signs that the child is ready for a debriefing with us. They're ready to work on the problem.
One dad told us a story about his 7-year-old, Sarah, and she was yelling at her brother downstairs, and so dad said, Sarah, and so Sarah stomps up the stairs and starts yelling at dad, and he wasn't even part of the problem yet. And so he says, I can tell just by looking at you, you're not ready to talk to me. I want you to go take a break. Fine. She stomps off down the hall, sits there, comes back 2 minutes later. Obviously not changed, with her hand on her hip, her bottom lip stuck out, her head cocked sideways, her eyebrows down. And dad says, I can tell by looking at you, you're not ready yet. I want you to change your heart. I want you to go back into the hall and I want you to sit there until you're ready. She went for 20 minutes this time, and when she came back this time, she was obviously changed. You could tell by just looking at her features. She was more relaxed. And dad said, come over here. And he took her head in his hands. He says, oh, I can look down in those eyes and I can see that your heart's changed. And they giggled about it for a little bit. And then he said, you know, we got to talk about this, because you can't be yelling at me like that. I don't yell at you, and I don't want you to be yelling at me. And we've got to have a different plan for you to deal with your brother when he's being obnoxious here. So let's work on that. But see, that dad used a break and had to send his daughter back to the break because she hadn't changed her heart, to help determine the length of time that was spent there for that heart change to take place.
The second distinctive is very important, because it changes the role of the parent and it changes the role of a child. If the child is sent to time out, the child just has to serve their sentence, and the parent's job is what? To keep the child there, right? You ever done that? No, you need to go back. Your time's not up. No, you need to go back. You need to go back. And we're pushing the child away. But when the child is taking a break, and it's the child's job to come back to the parent, now the child is the initiator, saying, okay, I'm ready to work on this. The child is coming back, and as a parent, oh, we've got a much better role now. We're standing here with open arms. Come on, I'm ready to talk about this. I'm ready to work on this with you. As soon as you're ready, I want to see you. I want to work this through. I'm looking for reconciliation here. I'm not pushing my child away. I'm saying, come on, let's talk about this. Let me know when you're ready.
Boy, I love that. That's one of my favorite parts, because I don't like being the policeman with my kids. I don't like saying, okay, you must serve your sentence. I'd rather say, send them on a mission to change the heart, and then be there to say, okay, I'm ready. And some children will go there, and they'll be stuck there in the break. And they have to be coaxed out of the break. And we'll say, okay, come on. When you're ready, I'm ready to talk about this, and we can go on. But what we're doing is, we are then like the prodigal son's father. That's what I like about it. Because then my role is one of wanting the relationship instead of pushing the relationship away. I want my child to come back and renew the relationship. Let's go on with life. Change your heart and come back. It's a beautiful picture, I think, and that's encapsulated in this idea of the break.
Now, sometimes as parents, we don't really want that child to come back yet, right? We're still frustrated too. And so while the child is taking a break, as adults, we need to be taking a break also. As parents, we need to be thinking through this. What's a good response for me? How am I going to handle this? What's going on? And we need to do some heart work as well. Often as parents, we need to take a break. I've said to my sons, you know what? I need to go to my room and take a break right now. We'll talk about this later. Because I know in my own heart, sometimes I need to do some adjusting. And that's okay. We're modeling that for our kids as well. That's an appropriate and mature response to issues, problems, when things get, conflict happens, relationships are having a problem. Sometimes we need to get out of that situation for a while to work on it and then re-enter.
Let's go to the third distinctive of taking a break. And that is that the motivation to return is that the child's missing out on the benefits of family life. If you've got a daughter, Wendy, and she is playing at the park, and you're at the park watching her, and then she's starting to be mean to one of her friends and pushing them, you might say, Wendy, I want you to come and sit down under the tree here in a break. Come and see me when you're ready. because we're not going to do that kind of rough play. Wendy goes and sits down. What's Wendy's motivation to come back? She's missing out on playground time. She's missing out on the benefits of family life. We want Wendy to return, come back, and go and spend some time with her friends. And so we use the motivation of missing out on family life in order to draw her to a point of repentance in her life. Changing the heart, coming back, and going and spending time with her friends.
Sometimes children get stuck in the break and they're not motivated to come out. And we have to up the motivation a little bit. You know, we say things like, well, everybody who's not in a break is going to have ice cream now. You know, we want to draw them out and help them realize there are benefits to family life, but you're not going to enjoy them until you're responding appropriately to the rest of the family.
There is a principle that makes this work and that underlies the whole break idea. And that is that the child's missing out on the benefits of family life. It actually comes from the Bible. Because what we tried to do is develop the break from Scripture and implement as many ideas from the way that God disciplines people into the process of parental discipline. We see in the Bible, in passages like Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 2, a process of church discipline. Church discipline is the way that God disciplines people in His family. Basically, the end result in church discipline is the person is excommunicated, they're separated, they must take a break from the benefits of family life until what happens? Until they're repentant. As soon as they're repentant, that is a change of heart, then you welcome them back, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, so that there would not be undue discouragement. So what we're trying to do is model that picture that God has for disciplining the people in His own family, bring that down into family life for us, and we say that kids can come back and rejoin family life and enjoy the benefits that family life provides when they're willing to abide by the principles that make this family work. So that's the principle. You can't enjoy the benefits until you're willing to abide by the principles that make this family work. So what we're saying to children is, on the break, you lose the ability to enjoy the benefits of this family for a little bit. You need to go sit and think about it and then come back. And we'll be able to enjoy what's going on here. So the motivation for the child to return is that they're missing out on these benefits of family life.
Often teenagers want the benefits of family life without abiding by the principles. And so they feel like they can be disrespectful, or they can be unkind, and then turn around and ask permission for something. You know, can you take me to the mall now? And can you give me some money? And we need to teach them. No, we're not going to continue to give things out until you're willing to cooperate here. You need to spend some time alone and just think about this. We're not going anywhere until we talk this through and you respond in a way that's more gracious.
The heart is a very important place for a child. And so what we're doing is doing some work in the heart. What we're trying to do is stop their activity for a little bit, stop the privileges that they have for a period of time, so that they can be thinking about some things. And we're trying, because the heart is the place where longings are and desires, we have the motivation to come out to be able to enjoy things in family life. That's heart work. And so we're making some adjustments on a deeper level to help children grow up a little bit, to have the maturity that they need. That's what we're trying to do in taking a break. There are a number of theoretical and philosophical and theological benefits to the break that we've tried to share with you to give you a vision for it. Let's talk about practically how this might work out in family life.
Sure, because we believe that a break is helpful for young children. Preschoolers need to learn how to take a break. In fact, we believe it's one of the preschool survival skills to learn how to take a break in family life. Once a child can take a break in family life, then it's a discipline strategy that you can use out in public. You can use it at the grocery store. You can use it at the park. You can use it at grandma's house or the friend's house. Taking a break, once the child has developed that skill and is able to take a break, then you can use it out in public. That's great. So it's great for young children. It's also helpful for older children and even for us as adults to take a break sometime. Let me just explain to you how I taught a young child to take a break one time, because you may be wondering, if you've got a 3 or 4 year old, how do we start this? I was babysitting at a Bible study at one point with a bunch of young children at varying ages, but one particular child was 3 years old. We'll call him Marky, and he was rather disruptive, and so I was going to have Marky take a break. Marky did not want to take a break. He enjoyed being disruptive. And he did not was not accustomed to taking a break at home. He didn't know what it was. And so I had to teach him how to take a break. And he was fighting and he was rebelling against the idea. And so I actually had to sit down on the floor with him. I held Marky in my lap, put my arms around him rather firmly so he could not get away. I was not hurting him, but I was restraining him. And I just talked to him calmly, "Marky, you need to settle down. As soon as you relax, I'll relax." And I continued to calmly repeat that to him till the point that he was able to relax. And, you know, and he's fighting and he's trying to get away from me initially. Realizing he's not going anywhere, he did eventually relax. Some children need help even knowing how to relax, how to stop fighting. And so we can be the security around them, giving them that sense, you just calm down, stop fighting. You just need to relax. We're going to take a break here and settle down. Because remember, the first thing that children need to do in the break is settle down. And that's often all preschoolers are going to do, is just stop fighting, stop the tantrum, whatever it is, and settle down and be willing to move on in cooperation.
When you're starting this with children, sometimes you have different kind of responses that kids give you when you try to implement the break. We would suggest that you sit down with your kids and you say to them, we're going to use a break in our family when there's a problem, and I want you to know what that looks like. In fact, we're going to practice it here for a minute. And so you may say to your 7-year-old, let's imagine that we're having a problem. What kind of a problem do you think we could have? And let's pretend that you're beating up on your brother. All right, let's just pretend.
Okay, no, let's not do it.
Let's just pretend. All right, now, so we're joking about it. You say, okay, and I'm going to say, Billy, you're being mean to your brother. I want you to take a break right over here in the hallway. And so let's see you do it, Billy. Go on. Pretend you're taking a break. And then I want you to decide when you're going to come out. And then he comes back. Good, that's good. Good practice. All right, we're going to do that later on. So we will explain this to children in advance. But that doesn't always help when in the heat of the moment. And so you can get a number of responses. One of them is that when you send children to take a break, they will throw themselves on the ground, start yelling and screaming, say mean things to you. Now, if they're in the general area of the break, or they're then I would suggest that you leave them alone because they're having a temper tantrum, and it's rarely helpful to engage with children. Although your children will try to provoke you and push your buttons. They're pretty good at that. Because children who are angry like company. And so they will try to say things to you to draw you into a fight. The child's in a break. Don't get involved in the battle. When the child's done, he's got to come back to you for a debriefing. And then we would suggest that you practice it. Look, you did fine. That's great. We talked about the problem, but the way you handled the break wasn't good. So I'm going to send you back to take a break again, and we'll practice that. And so we send the child back. And he may have a hard time going to break again, and we'll keep practicing that for part of the afternoon in order to make this work. Because taking a break is not an elective. It's a required course. So we're teaching children this is not optional. Now that's one kind of a child. We're going to just let them have a temper tantrum until they settle down. Then we're going to come back and practice it again. But there's another child who you say, I want you to take a break. And they say, no, I don't want to take a break. I want to deal with it now. And you start walking away and they follow you. And so you still go in the bedroom and they follow you in there. And so they're kind of badgering you and trying to bait you to get involved in a fight. Don't do it. You want to say, look, you're in a break right now, and life is not going to continue for you until you do what I said and go sit down. I will not be fighting with you. And so with an older child, you might have trouble picking that child up and having them do what Joanne did with Marky. But you're going to say, we're not going to live this way anymore. This is not going to work. Life will not continue. You're not going over to your friend's house. You're not going to be watching TV. You're not going to have any of those privileges until you're sitting down in the break place. And then you can come back. Sometimes children have a difficult time getting the picture, but it's our job as parents to help them see that this is not optional. This is a very important part of the process. You're going to use a break with children all the way through their lives. And so when children are teenagers, a break is very significant because we say to children, I'm sorry, you can't yell at me 1 minute and ask me for money the next. It doesn't work that way. We've got to be able to deal with life in a way that's not upset and angry. So I want you to think about it and come back and talk to me. So we use a break with children at varying ages. Depending on their response, we have to motivate them to go through it. And it takes some time to develop it as a routine. Do the hard work of parenting. Develop it as a routine. And you'll have some tremendous opportunities to deal with heart-level stuff with your children.
We're teaching children an adult skill when we teach them to take a break. They need to learn that when life is not going well and you start responding in a way that's not appropriate, best thing to do is to just get out of the situation, to go spend some time alone, think it through, and then you're able to re-enter and respond differently. It's something that we need to do as adults. We want to teach our children, even when they're young, 3-4 years old, that that's helpful to get out of the situation. It's a gift for kids sometimes to pull them out. They get caught up in what's going on in the emotion of a situation, and they're stuck there, and they start responding wrongly. We want to get them out of that situation, so sometimes taking a break is like a gift to them. Get out of here. Let's think about it, and then you'll have a plan for when you go back into that situation.
We can't assume that children can solve problems on their own. That's not what we're suggesting. And so when we send a child to take a break and the child is becoming more furious and more angry, that child is not processing the heart stuff correctly. That child needs more parental guidance in processing the heart stuff. And so you may leave the child to settle down a bit, but when the child comes back, you're going to make some observations about what's going on. And you're going to say things like, you know, I notice that when I correct you, you get very angry in that process. You must not value correction very much. You know, correction can be a tremendous asset in a person's life. It's part of what we have to do around here. And I know that sometimes you correct me. That happens sometimes. And I'm going to correct you, and you need to learn how to respond to that. And so we start trying to, in essence, reprogram, give more information to our children so they have more to deal with in their hearts and they can work on this on a more significant level. It takes work, but that's what we're doing. And I like what Joanne said. It is an adult skill. There are times when we as adults get so caught up in the emotion and the activity of life, we need to take a break. We need to think about what's going on. And then God uses the silent times, or the times when we have to wait, or the times when there may even be a crisis in our lives, to do some heart work inside. And you've probably all experienced that, where you come out of a difficult experience with an adjusted heart, new commitments to do a different thing, a new perspective on life, a different way to handle emotions. It happens in those breaks in life. And if we don't take the breaks, often we don't get the benefit of the heart work that God wants to do in our hearts. We are giving our children a gift when we teach them about a break. It's not a punishment. It can be used as a discipline strategy. It could be used as just the consequence that you need. There are other consequences that you can use as you're working with your children. But we would suggest that a break becomes a very valuable tool as you're working with your children, because it moves deeper in their hearts to address some important things there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give us the courage to take a break in our own hearts. And that when we do, you would speak to us, teach us how we might be more appropriate dads and moms to our children. Hone us down, Lord, and make our hearts receptive to you and then receptive to our children, so that we can make some real heart connections with our kids. Lord, I pray for our children that as they learn more about their own hearts, that you would give them a sensitivity to what you want to do directly in their lives. Oh yes, Lord, use us in the process, but Lord, we want our kids to be able to hear from you so that you can do the direct heart work in their lives that's needed. Lord, I pray for each parent here that you would bless them, give them wisdom as they try to apply these ideas in their families. In Jesus' name, amen.